Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Now, do you pick the same PIN number and password for absolutely everything? Because apparently 1234 is still the most common PIN out there. Our own Jess Kelly, News Talk's technology correspondent, is with me in studio. Jess, have we learned nothing?
No, clearly not.
End of interview.
And it's so frustrating because, like, if you think about how much of your life is on your phone.
Stop, I know.
Like, not just your text messages and your WhatsApps, but your banking apps, your Revolut, your email, which probably has your utility bills, which will have your address. Maybe you've got some, you know, stuff from Revenue that will have your PPS number. All anyone needs to get into your phone is your PIN. So my plea this lunchtime, on my hands and knees in the studio.
Listen up, folks.
Please, if you are someone who has 0000 or 11111 or 1234, please change it. You wouldn't leave your keys of your house or your car on a table. You wouldn't make it that easy for people. So you should take cybersecurity seriously. The amount of people I've had onto me over the years who say, my phone was lost or stolen.
Mm.
I had either no PIN or a very simple PIN. And all of my life's information is on it.
This is information we're talking about today. It's an analysis of leaked databases from Information is Beautiful. And what they've found is that, like, shockingly, 1234, it is the most common PIN code that people use.
And I can understand it to a certain extent. We all have so many different numbers and passwords, and with multi-factor authentication, there's a few more barriers now to get into your information. But you need to look at your passwords and your PIN as your first line of defense. And, you know, the beautiful thing, in a weird way, is that when I unlock my phone now, I don't even think about the numbers. It's muscle memory. My thumb just automatically puts in my PIN. So if you change your PIN, don't be afraid that you're going to lose it. Try and have something that's not the year that you were born.
Oh, yeah, date of births, yeah.
Because I could find that. I could go onto your Facebook now, find out.
No, I'm not saying mine's my date of birth.
Oh, no, I know what yours is as well. Don't you worry.
But do you know what it is?
I see you doing it all the time. You sit in a studio with cameras. I sit next to you.
Stop.
Please. No, but you know what I mean? This is the thing. Is like, we need to be smarter about it. People using their date of birth, the year they were born, their kids' date of birth, any information that's publicly available. That's the first thing either hackers or bad actors in your surrounds will use. Say if we go out for a coffee now after the show, we go to a cafe across the road and we're sitting there having a chat. Inevitably, because it's us, we'll pick up our phones a few times. The people sitting next to us, we don't know who they are. They could be just glancing over and seeing us putting our pins in. You, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, steal the phone and
then you
away
go to the
they
loo,
go.
You leave your phone on the table and all of a sudden it's gone. So look, I know it's not a fun task. It's very mundane. But I guarantee that if you have a pin that's a little bit harder to guess and if your phone goes walkies, you will absolutely be so grateful for that fact.
Is the PIN as important, though? Just, I know, albeit with everything you've just said, given that, like, most of us have the, thanks to artificial intelligence, which normally we complain and give out about, but given that now a lot of us have the...
Face ID?
Yes, Face ID, thank you.
Well, no, because the Face ID, again, I could take your phone out of your hand now and I could unlock your phone. The Face ID is just helpful for you. But you still have the PIN there for days where you look god awful or you've got sunglasses on and it doesn't recognize
you. Often it doesn't recognize me in the morning already.
I tell you, anytime I do it the first thing in the morning, it doesn't have a clue who I am.
You have to put in your code.
But that's why you have to put in your code. So
it doesn't matter then. Once they have the code, they're fine.
They're fine. And the facial ID thing is a handy thing for us. But for as long as we've got PINs, we have to have something more sophisticated than 1234.
Yeah, 11% of those analysed use 1234 as their passcode. The remaining 6% use 1111. This also translates, though, Jess, to the likes of email passwords. And like, even for instance, this morning, you know, I know we here in work, I'm sure many of our listeners do as well. When you sit down at the laptop and log into the systems for work, like, it's your work email address, the passcode. I know from time to time we have to change them, but it's very easy to just add on an odd digit or an exclamation mark or something to the same password.
Yeah, and I think you know, there are, and I completely understand why people do it, because it is so tough to remember all the passwords. But the way I keep saying it, you need to look at it as your first line of defense. You don't want people getting access to that content. And the key thing is, whatever about doing it on one email account, you don't want to have the same email and password combo on every account, because if they get access to one, they get access to everything.
They're in. And then that's where your whole social media becomes compromised.
Exactly. Now, this is the important bit, right? So the password thing and your PIN is your first line of defense. Your second line of defense is the multi-factor authentication. So you know that thing now where you, if you get logged out of your Instagram account and you log back in and it'll text you a code?
Yeah.
If you don't have, it's either two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication enabled on all of your accounts, be that your Microsoft Outlook, your Gmail, your Instagram, your Facebook, your Twitter, whatever it is, just have it locked in. This morning to the Tech Talk email, I've had two people getting on to me saying that their Facebook accounts have been compromised and they're now locked out of their accounts. They didn't have 2FA enabled. So this is your second line of defense, and it's a great line of defense because it means that you get a text message with the verification code anytime anyone tries to log into your accounts. And it just means that it's another tripwire, essentially, for the hackers to get into your details.
If you don't have that two-factor authentication enabled on your phone or your laptop, yep, or your whatever your email at the moment, how do you go back and do it retrospectively?
Okay, so you go into whatever account it is, be it your Gmail or your social media accounts. You click on your profile picture. So say we'll do Gmail first. So click on your profile picture in the top right-hand corner, go to settings and privacy, and then follow the steps. You will see very clearly two-factor authentication. It'll ask you for your mobile number, but also the clever thing that Google does now is it'll send you a push notification to your YouTube app. So if you've got YouTube on your phone, you can verify that way. When it comes to your social media accounts, exactly the same thing. Go to your profile page, go to settings and security, look for multi-factor authentication, enable it, and please make sure that you have it across the board on all of your accounts, even your Netflix. Every single thing needs multi-factor authentication.
And just finally, Jess, how do we pick a strong password? Like, is it just the, you know, the odd digit along with a capital letter and an exclamation mark? Does that actually make a big difference?
Yeah, it does. It's the combination of things. It's the use of capitalization, it's the use of digits, and the use of exclamation points. Like, what I'd recommend is, say if your password is, and you shouldn't do this, but just as an example, is password. Do a capital P, do a number 4 instead of an A, do a number 5 instead of the S's, and, you know, try and alternate and be a bit clever about it. So you can pick a word. What I'd often tell people to do is think of the first line of your favourite song, a song that's in your brain, lives in there rent free, and use the first letter.
Well, I'm snookered, because any of the hackers know I love Westlife, if I was to follow that.
We've got a little world of our own. 1985.
I'm a 5.
That's exactly
She's
it.
A 5'10".
I mean, I'm absolutely going to give this a go now and see if that is your password. But that kind of thing, it should absolutely, not necessarily typing out the entire thing, but even taking the first letter of each word from the first line of your favourite song with a few numbers.
That's a good idea, actually, yeah.
Things that are very personal to you that maybe not everyone will know.
Yeah, as always, a rock of sense, our own Jess Kelly. Thanks a million, Jess, for joining us here in the studio.
Thank you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.